boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the foaling barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing?
Want to know a secret? The Massachusetts Breeding Program pays huge bonuses for finishing first, second, or third at any racetrack in the country. You didn't know that, did you? Massbreds get paid up to an additional 25% of their purse earnings for the owner, and breeder, and stallion owner, and developer. It's the best kept secret in racing, till now. Tell all your friends, and to learn more, visit massbreds.com.
SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at the Event Center. Last chance, first chance. There'll be two dozen. Let me look at the numbers again. Two dozen or so. 20. I think Keith said now up to 28, I believe. Will now 28 players that will get qualified for next year, and then on the other front, for get the official number, I'm curious, let's go back to it. 27 seats and a 28th now based on the final numbers. 28 extra seats will be given out today, and six for next year. The first chance side of things. Right now, there's a chance, of course, coming on Friday, starting Friday through Sunday, to future wager the fifth pool, and most importantly, the first pool for the fillies, for the Oaks, and it's my favorite, having cashed an Oaks, nice Oaks ticket once, and we'll try to do it again. And Kevin Kirstein with us, and Kevin, I couldn't remember. I thought maybe you had qualified again, but I guess not. I'm sorry you're not here.
Well, you know, I wish I was there. It's going to be a great time, as always, out in Vegas. But I think my wife would officially castrate me if I ended up going on all these Road to the Derby stops and then, making a trip out to Vegas as well. So didn't really try fly this year, but it'd be a lot of fun. I wish I was out there with you. And, you know, big weekend here at Churchill, of course, with the future wages, as you just mentioned. And we got to get you another Oaks filly for this year. Or maybe play the Oaks Derby double, too. Maybe you can cash both an Oaks wager and an Oaks Derby double this year.
Well, and that's honestly the Oaks Derby double. And, I keep all of these every year. Give us an idea. What has the Oaks Derby future wager? How is it paid over the years?
Oh, as you can imagine, it's always up in the 100+ to 1 range most of the time. You just got to get it right, and it's hard to look back on the previous Oaks Derby double pulls because we've added additional interest this year. It used to be only 23 individual interest plus a 24 for all others, and now we're up to 39 individual interest plus the number 40 for all others. So all of those payouts should just be increased incrementally, as you would think, especially on the Oaks side of things, because it seems like a more wide open Oaks at this stage than we've had in more recent years, because it really isn't one standout filly. And so, you know, the puzzle will be on Sunday night. The Oaks, the pools close at 6 and 6:30 respectively, 6:30 for the Oaks. And so you got to look at the will pays. All those will pays will be available on your favorite ADW account, twinspires.com, of course. I'll have to, promote them because that's part of my job. But on the Twin Spires account on the side, you can watch all those will pays and see which one of those combinations are paying the best and then wager accordingly. But again, it's not, those odds aren't locked in. Because it's paramutual, so wait till Sunday night and see what your best combinations are, and it should increase incrementally over the previous years because of those additional interests.
Let's talk about the fillies first in here, KK, because there really doesn't seem, especially in lieu of the way. Wonder Wheel didn't run terribly in the return in the Suncoast, but at the same time, it didn't exactly, inspire a tremendous amount of confidence that she had taken a clear step forward. Then there's fillies like Wet Paint. There's the way in which Hoosier Philly came back, and again, same scenario. We sort of came to January, the beginning of the year, with this impression that there were, a couple of serious Oaks fillies, and they have opened the door. I mean, they're not running this weekend, and from that standpoint, in fact, there's very few of these, right? How many are running in the one in the Florida Oaks?
Yeah, and Chop Chop is another one too that showed
a lot
of promise, and she
returns
on the turf at Fairgrounds on Saturday. And so, you scroll up and down this page, and I can tell you, going behind the curtain and looking at us when we were going through and determining the fillies to make this field, they all look the same, Steve, and that's what's so difficult at this stage. Is you got standout fillies when they were two, they haven't really progressed when they were three, and the ones that have shown promise at three, figures wise, they just seem slower than some of those that had shown that form at two. So it leads to question marks if the Wonder Wheels and Julia Shinings of the world will return and increase their figure wise to make them faster, or will some of these new shooters that have run slower, what is their trajectory upwards to maybe get faster for the first Friday in May? So it was a very difficult field to come up with. Usually the Oaks is seems to be pretty easy, and this was pretty difficult to come up with 39 of these fillies because a lot of them look the same. And again, without any major prep races for the next 2 weeks on the road to the Kentucky Oaks, there's a lot of question marks with some of these. But if you're right, you could see some of these projected morning lines from Mike Battaglia. There's some big balloons on there, and I think that'll reflect on the wagering.
Touch on a few that have got, that from your perspective have got maybe a look or two at a big price.
If you look at a filly like South Lawn from Norm Cassie, ran a huge race last time out at Fairgrounds to break through the allowance ranks, and was 10-1, won by 8 lengths, earned a big figure. She's 20-1 on here, and would be well interested if she gets some action compared to the other fillies with that have shown more of a resume. But she looks like she's on the right trajectory upwards. You have to maybe look at Wonder Wheel and Julia Shining. They're going to be short and big question marks if they can return to their forms. Hoosier Phillies 15-1 on the line. We saw what she was as a 2-year-old, but it was just sort of a blah return in the Rachel Alexandra. Is that price too short? And then you look at horses like Clearly Unhinged for Michael McCarthy, who's based out on the West Coast, just broke her maiden at San Anna Anita sprinting. She's fast. She ran a fast figure. Hasn't tried two turns yet, but you would have to think that she's going to show up in the Santa Anita Oaks and, you know, buy into mischief out of a smart strike mare. She's fast enough if she can translate that sprint form to dirt. 40-1 on the line on her. She is one that I'm going to keep my eye on come Sunday at 6:30 Eastern.
You know, you would think that if you just wanted to utilize... You just wanted to utilize some connection power. You look at the Chad Brown, the Steve Asmussen runners. Just the Asmussen and the Chad Browns. Here's Chad with that asset purchase from the other day, 30-1. Asmussen, Grand Love, ran the other day, 50-1. You mentioned Julius Shining. What other Pletchers? Money's Gold, 30-1 from Pletcher. Occult from Chad Brown, 20-1. I tell you, am I seeing this right? That Steve Asmussen has only one filly on this list?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think, you know, what Asmussen, you know, and you look at all the Chad Brown fillies. Chad Brown, when we were going through this list, it amazed me how many that Chad Brown has, because you just see, you know, Chad with filly after filly on here, and sort of later on the Colton. It's just weird how that works out for some of these, you know, bigger powerhouse trainers like Steve and Chad. And so Chad with several fillies on this list, I believe five on the Oaks future wager. And so, yeah, it's interesting how those work out year after year. Sometimes you're loaded with the Colts, sometimes you're loaded with the fillies.
Well, the one common, you talk about powerhouse, the one commonality between both lists, fillies and the boys, is Brad Cox, who's just he's a rash on both of these lists.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I think he's got 14 total, and it just seemingly he's winning with everything everywhere, you know, dirt, turf, you name it. And so, especially on this road to the Derby and road to the Oaks this year, he's stepping up with all sorts of, you know, ammunition. And, you know, you look on the boys side of things, and maybe sort of seem to cool off a little bit from... you know, say November through February, early February, he was red hot. You know, a lot of those horses by design have not returned yet, and so we'll have to see if the Cox camp, you know, has those horses ready for the championship series, which I'm certainly they would, but it'll be interesting how they stack up with some of the new shooters that are on each side of these pictures. And so, you know, Brad's, you know, he's got the hot hand, Steve, and, you know, whenever, you know, I always seem to text him, and I'm like, hey, is, you know, am I missing anyone on this list? And anytime I say am I missing anyone, usually means that they have about five more waiting in the barn that I am missing.
Well, on the field, before we turn to the boys, for those keeping track, Brad Cox with Botanical, 20-1, Capella, 40-1, Chop Chop, 40-1, Flashy Gem, 40-1, Merlaza, 99-1, Punch Bowl, 20-1, The Alice Look, and Wet Paint are the two short prices, 15-1 and 12-1, respectively. Then turning to the boys, Victory Formation, Verifying, Tappet's Conquest, Instant Coffee, who we're waiting for to come for the Florida, for the Louisiana Derby, Hit Show, and Angel of Empire. So, you know, one thing that's common in some of those, the last out victories, actually. Angel of Empire, 30-1. Hit Show, 30-1. Instant Coffee, 30-1. Tappet's Conquest, 80-1. Verifying, 50-1. And Verifying is a horse I wouldn't give up on after just the seasonal debut. And the Victory Formation, 80-1. So there's the Brad Cox influence. What's exciting about this list, and turning to the boys, and rather than talk about the obvious, like Forte, 4-1, Practical Move, 8-1, Kevin, should be talking about horses like Cagliostro, of Cherie DeVos, who came very close to winning that fancy allowance race on the Risen Star undercard. And that's the kind of horse that you're looking for in this pool.
Yeah, you know, it's a pool of the Derby future wagers. So, you know, the previous four pools had a lot of these horses that, you know, you could have bet on. And so when we're looking at, you know, our list, I think we had maybe 57 or so three-year-olds on our list that we narrowed down to 39. And, you know, a lot of them were the same horses that have been on here each one of these pools. And then you then have Cagliostro, like you mentioned, but then you also have in the back of your mind, well, how many horses do I want to include that's going to be in this Louisiana Derby? The Louisiana Derby is going to be absolutely stacked this year with some of the top three-year-olds in the country. And so, you know, I was going through our quick count when we were narrowing down the field. I think we had like 10 possibles for the Louisiana Derby, which, you know, they all can't take the Derby field, obviously, because, you know, with the point structure. But there's, you know, Cagliostro was one of them. Dennington's one of them out of that allowance race that, you know, will be in that Louisiana Derby, and, you know, and Brad with however many that he's going to run in that Louisiana Derby. And so that's certainly shaping up to be the fun race, but that's sort of our mindset of going into this pool is who are the new shooters that we can include, but we don't want to overload in one certain region knowing that all these horses can't qualify for the first Saturday in May.
Well, the other aspect of this, I mean, when you have horses like a Cagliostro who ran well in defeat in an allowance race, so people, you know, it's not necessarily top of mind in terms of what they're coming out of. But when you also have a horse, even like a Blazing Sevens, the beauty of a horse like that coming back, as we discussed, in fact, even going into the Fountain of Youth Saturday, Chad, who was it? I think it was Scully that talked on Friday about Chad's approach with the three-year-olds. He's not looking to win the first prep back. He's looking to build them up toward Derby. And so a horse like Blazing Sevens is now dirtied up. And 40-1 to start the bidding on Friday.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, you know, and he was a tough one too, because, you know, obviously he showed, you know, the form as a two-year-old and then, you know, hasn't been seen since that, you know, effort in the Fountain of Youth. And it really wasn't much of an effort that day. He did encounter some trouble early, but, you know, how can he return and what value will that bring him because of, you know, that bad running line? You know, it shows 8 beaten 26 lengths in his last start. You know, people and handicappers are such last race, you know, bettors, it seems like, these days. And so a lot of the action gets, you know, bet on horses because of their last race. And, you know, horses are allowed to lose. And Scully made a great point on the show last week, you know, with Chad's horses. You know, they're not meant to, you know, win off of this layoff, and they haven't been in years past, and they really show in that second start of the championship series that if they're the true Derby contender. So it'll be very intriguing to see what the betting is on Blazing Sevens off of that bad race.
We should also address the fact that this is the first opportunity to bet on the Baffert horses that are now been moved to other barns in time to operate. Oh boy, they're starting to roll in now, KK.
Oh boy,
some of the real stars. Let's go through this list. Arabian Knight was one of the favorites, 10-1. Arabian Lion, 50-1. And, of course, these were ineligible. Hijazi off of Saturday, 40-1. It still feels like he's trying to find himself. National Treasure is 30-1 and of course, didn't run on Saturday as expected. Yakteen's Own homegrown product is the second choice. Practical Move, not a transfer horse, obviously. Reincarnate deserves plenty of attention off of an effort that, you know, people are going to see that he was third in the Rebel, but that was a very good third. He's 30-1. That's a horse that when if he comes back and wins an Arkansas Derby, let's say, that 30-1 could look very good. I imagine he comes down Sunday night from that 30-1. And then Yeah, that's it. Those are the Yakteen transfers.
Yeah, and so, you know, obviously in the first four pools, when they were all under the care of Bob Baffert, who's suspended from competing in the Kentucky Derby, all of those horses were in that number 40 for the all others. And so in years past, it always was those, that all other number 40 option was bent down to big favoritism, and it was even more so this year because of those runners. And so we'll have to see, you know, in the, you know, on the top side of things, between Forte and Arabian Night, I can't wait to see what the parimutuel wagering is on these two, because we've all seen what's going on in Vegas right now, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much of a difference parimutually there is between these two, because they seem like obviously the far, you know, best 2-3-year-olds at this stage. So I can't wait to see what that bait, that public wagering is on Arabian Night and Forte.
There's also the kind of horses that are nibbling. Two fills for Ravelli, 80-1.
Yeah, we used several horses that are pointing towards the Jeff Ruby Stakes. Ravelli reported yesterday that Two Fills is headed for the Ruby, and so, you know, he'll be one that'll take some attention up in Florence. Major Dude is the likely favorite for that race for Todd Pletcher. He's in this pool. He's 50-1. And so, you know, those two look to be, you know, headlining up in Florence for the Jeff Ruby Stakes. So, Two Fills has always been there. And then you look on, you know, across the pond, horses that are aiming towards the UAE Derby and based internationally, like Cairo, who just won on the European Road to the Kentucky Derby in the Patton Stakes. So he earned points both for the European Road to the Derby and then targeting that UAE Derby. And then Japan's, you know, coming with an influence from all over the place. And Carrier is one of theirs that won the Hyacinth, who is targeting the UAE Derby. And he's one that'll take some attention over there. And then, you know, another Japan-based horse that was reported this week that's heading for the Santa Anita Derby is Mandarin Hero. He's 50-1. They're targeting the Santa Anita Derby and hoping to get him qualified for the Kentucky Derby. So lots of European influence both in this pool and overall on the road to the Derby scene this year.
Well, and I'm glad you brought up the Japanese horse, because it's a story that immediately, you know, especially in the wake of racing going on at this time of year in the Middle East, and Mandarin Heroes news, I think, got everybody's attention. The respect that has been, you know, really generated, and rightly so, for these Japanese invaders, it you know, shipping all over the world essentially and winning, capturing people's attention right away.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a, you know, a cool story with this horse, because he's based on the regional circuit, the NAR circuit over in Japan.
Right.
And so, you know, he's not really running, you know, top circuit wise, but, you know, the Japanese influence of their, you know, worldwide success is reaching all over that country. And so it proves that, you know, horses, the trainers and owners are willing to take shots and willing to take gambles to come compete at some of the world's top levels. So it'll really be interesting to see how this horse stacks up in the Santa Anita Derby and hopes of qualifying for the first Saturday of May.
Mandarin Hero, and this would be their first. And for those, by the way, that haven't, I didn't get a chance to talk to Sid yesterday. We'll save it for next week. This is a Shanghai Bobby, so I mean, it's not a pedigree that's going to be obscure to people. It's something very, you know, it's a pedigree that's relatable. And I thought I saw that this would be the NAR's first horse that they've sent that's come to North America.
Yeah, that's what I read as well, too, which is really exciting. And you know, this horse is 4-for-5 in the NAR circuit and has run very well over there. You know, you obviously don't know what he's running against, and but it's one of those where his form really speaks to allow his connections to make this gamble to ship over to California for the Santa Anita Derby.
Mandarin Hero. Very good. Well, it's a fun pool, because we know a lot more than we did a month ago. And as I discussed with Darren last month, you know, the fact that that those Baffert trainees were going to be in new barns, it is kind of a funny sidebar that that Yak Teen's the number one horse in his shed is a horse that he's had all along when it comes to practical move. But this is the pool that people need to be looking at 5 o'clock at 5 o'clock on Sunday, leading up to the 6 o'clock cutoff. The Oaks Phillies, they go till 6:30. So 6 o'clock Eastern time, and I always, not always, but a lot of times, especially, you know, we're going to be knee-deep in the final table at that point here. I'll do everything I can to remind everybody, and certainly tomorrow we'll also get some thoughts from Scully and from Schaap about the ones that that they might be, you know, that they might want to play. We lost Kevin for a second, but he thoughtfully has come right back.
That's called construction at Churchill Downs, Steve. There's all sorts of stuff going on right now. I think my phone does not have the best reception
right now,
but it will come the first Saturday.
KK, I just was saying, 6 o'clock cutoff for the Oaks Derby double and for the Derby horses, 6:30 for the Oaks Phillies.
Yes, that's correct. And so just staggered difference. And again, you know, don't be, you know, paying too close attention to those early odds when the pool opens Friday at noon Eastern time. It is parimutuel, and so you'll have to see what those odds are come Sunday at close. And, you know, of course, maybe if you're having a successful weekend out in Vegas for all the NHC guys out there, you know, parlay some of that money into the Derby pool. And, you know, who knows, you can make quite the NHC Derby double for out there right now. Again, Steve, I'm so jealous I'm not out there with you guys right now. The NHC is a blast, and I'm sure it's going to shape up to be a really fun weekend this year.
Always. You've qualified what, once or twice?
I qualified once. I was a one and done, like a John Calipari player. So, I retired on top, except I didn't quite make the NBA. I made it down to the D-League.
I love it. KK, I appreciate this. I wanted to get it out of the way and get it in everybody's head this is the best of the pools. And of course, you can bet all others with a Derby horse or an Oaks horse and all others in the Derby. That's an option as well. Don't forget but you can't go all. That one thing, you can't go all, right?
Can't go all. Right. Yeah, you're right there. And, you know, after this, there's one pool that will remain March 30th through April the 1st. And so that'll really have, you know, more, you know, actual odds for the Derby. But there's still going to be three key championship series races that will be, you know, unknown at the time after that pool. So, you know, that'll be the last pool for the Derby, only pool for the Oaks. And again, so this is, again, my favorite pool is yours to try and get some more inflated odds, and we'll see in the next 8 weeks.
Horse Racing KK, everybody. Kevin Kirstein. Kev, I appreciate it, and we'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Make sure you get Clocker John on here.
He brought me a muffin, a fabulous, been nibbling, a fabulous, like a coffee cake kind of a muffin.
Of course he did. That's what he does.
I've had a big, I'm way ahead here. I got these biscuitos or whatever, the official cookie of New Mexico, and I got, and Jim Sebas brought me a cronut, which I've never had. They're the famous cronut.
You sound like you are stacked and loaded and ready to go.
Without a doubt. KK, thanks a lot.
Absolutely, Steve. Take care.
Kevin Kirstein, everybody. Woody.
I miss you, Sandy.
Well, pick up the microphone. Take that one. This is crazy. Say hello to everybody.
To the racing world, hello.
The one and only.
May the racing gods be with you.
Well, how, that's a good point. How did I not see you this past week at Santa Anita?
I saw you and you disappeared.
What do you mean?
I went to say hello, and before I turned around, I was looking at the horses. You were gone.
Holy cow! Yeah. So you were there.
I was there. Where else am I going to go?
Well, because
my life is limited to the racetrack and racetrack in my house. I know you were there because you might have been with Hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you walking with Hammer.
Well, all I do, the people say, oh, so where are you going to be? Where am I going to be? I'm going to be from the paddock to the track apron, the paddock to the track apron, the paddock to the track apron. I just go back and forth.
No, actually, one day you were doing something on the radio, and I wanted to say hello. He said you were around, but I did see you by the paddock.
Well, yeah.
But that's what it is. I'm antisocial. I'm getting older, more curmudgeonly.
Well, I'll use that great picture I have of you in front of the building. That's it's one of my favorites.
Refresh my memory.
I'll pull it up for you. You're here with your man.
Yeah, equal. And David's coming. David will be here.
David Roth.
David.
Well, which David?
Nance. My David. The guy from Pennsylvania.
Who's friends from Hazleton.
Yeah, he does the work with it, but he couldn't make it for this, but he'll be tomorrow.
For tomorrow?
Yeah.
But
Eric
Roth.
Yeah,
excuse
Eric
me,
Roth.
I said David Roth. What is wrong with me?
David Lee, Roth. Rock and roll. Too many drugs.
Listen to you. You guys, does Eric have he's got a seat.
Yeah, he qualified.
So he's set.
He's good.
All right.
And we're just doing the last chance to see if we get
just
another
for another ticket.
Yeah.
And for you.
It was for me, and I'm filling in because David's usually... They gamble good together. They know how to bounce things off. I'm always doing my own thing. But it's what it is, and maybe some of the darts will get bullseyes. You never know. You don't know.
Well,
the other tracks, you don't... To me, it's... Get a little biased being at the same, like Santa Anita all the time, like every other horse. But, you know,
is it going to hurt? I mean, in terms of Golden Gate canceling tomorrow, does it hurt you guys?
No,
you don't play any. You don't worry about Golden Gate.
No, I don't. David has a little. I don't like Golden Gate. I don't like anything when I see synthetic. They could take the synthetic and, you know, just betting Gulfstream. It's just all wheel every race and hope you hit.
Well,
play the Wheel of Fortune and hope you hit your money. Because more times than not, you don't get the favorite. On the up north is different. So,
well, so you're basically you're gonna, and it is an advantage today that Santa Anita is running on the Thursday. If this had been last week, you wouldn't have had a Thursday card,
right?
So having Santa Anita today,
for me, it's an advantage. But I don't. The problem is in this, you have to get some kind of price horses. You know
exactly.
So it's what it is.
See, and when you guys are working on these, when you're working your ticket, you're putting your heads together.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody puts their opinion in, and whatever you want value.
That's it.
Betting 6 to 5 shots doesn't do you any good.
What's your specialty?
I have no specialty.
You don't have a specialty?
No.
Come on.
I don't have it.
No? There's not a certain angle or a certain situation?
There's certain things.
The hill course? What about the hill course?
The hill course, I like horses that pull. If you watch the films, they pull a little bit, and then when they sort of relax. Let me see. Down the hill. Is there a down the hill race today?
You know what? That's a good question on the Friday card. Seth Merrow, I think, has jumped in. Well, hold on. Seth, wait a minute. There we go. Seth? What is going on there? There we go. There's Seth.
Testing? Yes, yeah. You have me?
I have you now.
Technology.
You got me literally walking out the door because I know when you're at an event and you start talking to people walking by, I'm thinking, well, I'm not coming. I'm not on. So I was packed up. I was headed down to the studio. You got me literally as I foot out the door.
Well, if Woody hadn't ambled by, and I wanted to grab him before, you know, the mayhem, and you know, in case things go if things go south, the mood over there gets bad.
With every horse player, please. One bad beat, and yeah. The good news is I don't drink anymore, so one bad beat I don't have to worry about.
about going down there.
I know the feeling because it was Steve, I think I texted you, but I didn't say it on the show. I was playing in a qualifying contest maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I got to the last two races, and I was sitting second. And I both it was Gulfstream and Tampa, so I could look up, and both of the odds were showing. I was going to have to win both of them to get to first place. I hit the race at Tampa, and I go to the leaderboard to see, you know, where I'm, how, what do I need for, because the odds were right around what I was going to need. And I go to the leaderboard, and the guy who was ahead of me hit the place horse for $8.
Unbelievable.
And so my horse hits the last race, and I do the math. Had that guy not gotten the $8 with a crazy come from last in the stretch horse, had he not gotten that $8 and change, I would have been going to Vegas by 50 cents.
That's
so I know the bad beat feeling.
There's a bad beat every minute. Somewhere, somehow, there's a bad beat. You never remember the winners, though, do you? You always remember the bad beats. That's a gambler's mantra.
Lament.
Lament, yeah.
But that's the beauty of the game.
Absolutely.
How did that guy get that $8? For him, it was like, this is the best place horse I've had in my life.
It's true. It's very true.
The great thing is, there's a race running within 30 seconds of you getting beaten. You just move on. Just hope that gun has some bullets in it. That's all. That's all you need.
Yep. Absolutely.
Seth, you may not recognize. I've just been referring to him as Woody. But what in luck? What on your IM on your internet movie?
Goose. It says Goose was the character.
Goose was the character.
Woody Copeland.
There you go.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you'd recognize.
It was life imitating art, and no different on that than I do now. I'm out hustling, looking in garbage pails for bottles, tickets, hustling, doing everything. You know, it's what it is. The greatest game played outdoors. It's a little different now, but it's.
Well, I'm lucky
because I was around the heyday. I was around Hialeah in its heyday and Gulfstream in its heyday, seeing horses like Mr. Prospector, Forgo, those kind of horses. It's a different
Man of War.
Back to the Future. Man of War, yeah. I remember Man of War. I gave him a carrot back in 32 or whenever, 49.
Oh, my God.
In my father.
Yeah. Too funny. We'll have Woody visit tomorrow. But for those that watched Luck, you'll recognize when I put Woody's picture up on today's listings. You'll recognize him immediately. He was hanging in the first episode. You were hanging around the paddock.
Yeah, the first episode I was in. It was at just closed Rod's Diner. I was hustling Renzo to claim a horse.
Okay.
That was the first scene I was in.
I drove by Rod's.
They closed it.
Hammer told me that they closed.
They closed it. Legendary. They might reopen, but that's...
It's sad.
Well, people are going, restaurants are going.
And by the way, the other day when I was trying to remember the other breakfast place, a guy wrote to me, Leroy's.
Leroy's is still open.
Yeah, that was the place I couldn't remember.
And just make sure you bring some... defibrillary paddles with all the grease and get your money. Listen, I'm going to let me buzz over.
Go over there. You're good. You're good.
Good luck today, Seth, whatever you do.
Thank you. Same to you.
Thank you.
On the weekend as well.
Thank you. If I make it that long.
Stop. He's so ridiculous. Woody Copeland, everybody. The great.
Nice knowing you.
Seth, I had to grab Wood because he's one of the great, when I say great characters, I mean, there's a perfect example of another reason why it was a tragedy that what happened with Luck, because there would have been, I mean, Wood could have been a star. They could build a series around him.
I was about to say, is that streaming anywhere? But I would assume you could probably pick it up on the HBO.
Oh yeah,
app.
It is. And,
yeah.
And although for a while you couldn't find it, but no, now it's. And I think also on Prime. In fact, I've watched. There's a couple of favorite moments from episodes that I love pulling up when I'm in a certain mood. What did I have for you, Seth? The Saratoga Stakes schedule news from the other day.
Yeah, I haven't pulled it up yet. Some people were talking about it. I know that some of the minor ones disappeared, and they shifted, New York Showcase Day to the day after the Traverse now, put the personal incident on the Friday before, but I haven't taken a close look at it yet. But, always a little tweaking can't hurt, and particularly in this day and age when you're looking to get full fields and you don't want to overlap with some of the other tracks, particularly in the summertime. So, it'll be interesting to see how it works out. But I have no real problems when they kind of tweak things around a little bit.
Well, and of course, as we've already mentioned, and in fact, that came up earlier, David Harrison joined us, and the widespread appreciation for Harvey Pack having a race name for him.
Yeah, Harvey Pack, I mean, for people who are new to the game, I'm sure Harvey Pack is just a name they hear knocked around, but Harvey Pack for guys like you and me and people who have been watching for a while now, Harvey Pack was a key player that, for me, pulled me into the game because, when I was a kid, cable TV, hard to believe, was kind of brand new and came into upstate New York and brought WOR into the living rooms of upstate New York. And so, you'd be able to watch the Naira recap show and whatnot with Harvey Pack and, the program up in the air and May the Horse Be With You. And yeah, so he was certainly instrumental in pulling my interest into the game.
Well, not just yours and last year's and the defending NHC champion, David Harrison. Seth, good to connect. I know you'll be following the action this weekend.
Absolutely, no question about it. I've said to you before, radio show and horse racing contest, how's that going to go together? But you've been doing it, I don't know how many years now, but it's fun, it's entertaining, it's hilarious, it's informative. You do a great job. And I know just from listening to the show and talking to some of the people who are out there, that's what pulled them into the game and into the contest side of the game. So keep up the good work this weekend.
Too kind. Seth Merrow, everybody. Seth Merrow, too, on your Twitter. Equidaily.com, Capital OTB, television, and CapitalOTB.com. We will send you out into the race day. It's a nice Thursday, and a little extra bonus with Santa Anita running today. And we'll be back tomorrow, the usual weekend preview, Twin Spires weekend preview. At the races. Live from Horseshoe on the Strip. The event center used to be, at one time, was a High Life Ronton, believe it or not, a million years ago. Replay tomorrow, 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM. Archive podcast later this afternoon as well. And, all right, we're underway from Vegas. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in the morning.
At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.